Scripture tells us in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death, right? It leads to death. There's a way that seems right to us, but it leads to death. And a lot of that has to do with the times that we're living in. What is truth? And we turn on the TV and we see truth come at us from all kind of angles and from all different outlets. And we're bombarded with what is kind of truth. But John, Jesus says this in the book of John, chapter 18. Pilate says, "You are a king then." And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth," Jesus says, "listens to me." And so Pilate then asked him, "What is truth?" What is truth? That's an important question that we need to figure out for ourselves today, because what we believe is true is how we're going to behave. The things that we believe are true are the things that are going to drive us. If we believe that gas is going to continue to rise and rise and rise, we're going to let that drive us to make decisions that we're not going to drive as much. Maybe we'll learn to ride a bicycle again. Maybe we'll just blame people, you know, but we'll allow that just to drive every emotion and drive our passions. It affects us relationally and morally and financially and spiritually. What is truth? You got to remember, we are living in the world, and the world, our flesh, and our enemy, Satan, are all three against us every single day, and we are in a battle. It says that the devil, Satan, is called the father of lies. This is what it says in the book of John. "The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, and he is the father of lies." And if you look at our world today, we are being filled with lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. The problem is, he doesn't just come out and say, "Hey, I want you to turn away from God. I want you to quit going to church. I want you to give up on the youth. I want you to give up on the young adults. I want you to give up on the praise team. I want you to give up on all those things because it's not really helping you." He doesn't come at you that way. What he does is he starts to put you in control. He knows that we're probably smart enough that if someone comes up and says, "Hey, deny Jesus," you're going to say, no, man, I'm not going to deny Jesus, even though we live like it. What he's going to do is he's going to come, just like he came to Eve in the garden, he's going to come and he's going to say, "You know what? God, really, you're not going to die. God doesn't want you to eat that fruit because you're going to become just like God." In other words, we have the choice to become just like God. It looks true, it sounds good, it feels true. But Paul says this in Romans, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth for a lie." Three kinds of lies, I think, today. The first one is relativism. And when we talk about relativism, what we're saying is there is no such thing as absolute truth. For example, stealing is bad. The Bible says, "Do not steal," right? But if you're hungry and you break into a store and you steal bread, then that's okay because it's relative. You know, it's there is no absolute truth. You can't say that stealing is bad because sometimes stealing is good. Sometimes stealing is necessary. In other words, we make it relative to our situation. You know, we see this happen all the time with our politics now. You know, the conservatives blame the liberals. The liberals blame the conservatives. The Democrats blame the Republicans. The Republicans blame the Democrats. And it's all relative to what our truth is and how we're affected. And we think and scratch our head and say, "I can't believe, how does the other side even see that?" And then it's because it's relative to them. And so there is no absolute truth. You know, the Bible says, do not kill. And yet, we have debates whether abortion is okay or not. We know that murdering a baby is wrong. We would never take a newborn and say, like, yeah, you know what, I don't want the baby. Man, it's going to put too much pressure on my life and just get rid of the baby. But because it's still in the womb, we think relatively, well, it's not really born yet. Well, it has a heartbeat. When the doctor's sticking the needle in there, it's trying to move away from the needle. It's obviously alive. Yeah, but it's the mother's choice. See, it's relative. And so our truths become relative. Another type that we worry about is subjectivism. Subjectivism means that I, the subject, I have the right to determine what is right and wrong, and I don't have to submit my judgment to any other authority outside of myself. For example, you may believe that adultery is wrong, but I may believe that, hey, it's just hard. It's just hard for a guy to be with just one person. It's hard for a wife just to love one man. You know, it's just hard. And so what's important to me, what is true for me, may not be true for you, but don't stick your truth on me. And so everything becomes subjective, and so we don't know where to turn with truth. And then the big one today is expressive individualism. And this is the view that the whole point of a person's existence, our whole existence is for us to be authentic. Okay, now that sounds good, but individuals have to be authentic, and we have to align our lives with our deepest desires because that's what makes us authentic. And so we have debates on whether there are more than two genders. Well, it's kind of like Shania Twain that says, man, I feel like a woman. And today we have men that feel like a woman, right? And so they identify, I'm just a woman trapped inside a man's body. And so we look at the truth that they have, and it's this authentic. But the problem is, it doesn't just stop with this individual. Society now, we have to applaud these individuals aligning their lives with their true selves. In other words, we have to celebrate it. You go, girl. Or guy. Or girl, guy. Or guy, girl. Don't call me he. I'm a them. Like, what the heck does that even mean? What does that mean? It can mean whatever I want it to mean because I have expressive individualism. And the problem is today we've learned to live without God in our lives. We don't need God. I look at the lives, the way that we live. Our relative wealth, we don't need to rely on God to give us today our daily bread because we have more wealth than the rest of the world combined. And so we have plenty of bread unless there's a pandemic or snow. You know, then you can't get milk, bread, or toilet paper. And I don't know what those three have to do with anything. But the problem is we don't need God to help us material because we make so much money that we put ourselves in debt, and then we blame God. Well, God, you just didn't give me enough. So you know what? I'm just going to pray for more. I'm going to pray for more. I'm going to pray for more. You know, because of modern medicine and the doctors, we look at them and we don't rely on the Bible as God is our great physician. God is our ultimate healer. And he's created our body in such a way that it can heal itself if we take care of the temple that he's given us. But yet we rely on pills and shots and doctors and everything else. And because of modern therapy, because of modern therapy, we ignore the role that his word has for healing our heart, our mind, and our soul. Jesus says, come to me, all that are heavy laden. But what do? We go to the doctor and say, hey, I need Prozac. He says, put your faith in me. My yoke is easy. Put this, let me carry the burden with you. And we say, no, I just need more Lexapro. I need more. I need this. I need to talk to somebody for an hour each week and pay them lots and lots of money just so I could feel better about myself. And yet God's word, if we spent that same hour in God's word, you would feel better about yourself. We don't need God. And because of our entertainment industry today, we are distracted from him. We're distracted from the scriptures. We could be delighting in his word. And the problem is we spend more time in Netflix. In fact, Margie and I have been watching Netflix so much that now we just surf through Netflix going, nah. I can't even find anything on Netflix anymore. I found a program in the YouVersion. If you get that app, YouVersion of the Bible, there's a thing called 30-Day Shred. And it is the whole Bible in 30 days. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Okay? And I'm telling you, I'm a day behind, but I'm listening as much as I can. And I'm replacing my Netflix time and the time I used to just waste by just listening to his scriptures and letting it just pour over me. And it's amazing that in 30 days, I can go all the way through the Bible. And I've got another app that takes me through the Bible in a year. But I can do it in 30 days if I just turn off the TV. These historical conditions that we live in today, we kind of believe that we are the captains of our own fate. In fact, those are the stories that move us the most. You know, man against the world. One person standing up to do these things. Where do we go for truth? Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And yet, we look at relativism and subjectivism and this expressive individualism that's going on in our world today and we think like, what is the truth? Where is the truth? And from time immemorial, humans have dealt with this issue by reaching out to fortune tellers, to soothsayers, to shamans, to prophets, to priests, to people who claim that they've seen a vision. And even if that person says doom and gloom, at least we have an idea of what to do. Remember 2000? Remember 1999, 2000? How many of you stockpiled water, ammunition, and everything else because the end of the world was coming? Okay, Brenda, thanks for being honest. All of y'all did. You know you did. You got married? It's the end of the world as we know it. And then just a few years ago, I think the Mayan calendar was coming to an end, and that was really going to be the end. Guys, this kind of stuff has been going on and on and on, and we buy into this fear. The pandemic, you know, has had a death rate of below 1%, and yet we're so consumed with the pandemic that we let it control our lives, and we don't even know what to believe about it. You turn on the TV, you hear Dr. Fauci say one thing, you hear the CDC say something else, then you hear these pundits say something. Everybody has an idea of what's going on, but nobody knows. If we can know the future, even if it's bad, we think that we can kind of control the situation. That's it. We want to be in control. And even with truth, we want to be in control. Well, I want to tell you this. Even the best experts with no agenda don't know. One doctor, I was talking to my doctor, and I asked him, you know, what's going on? I've had the vaccines, but yet I got COVID. Well, then I found out they don't even test for COVID. They say they're testing for COVID, but they're testing to see if you were positive with the coronavirus. Well, the coronavirus could be a cold, it could be MRSA, it could be SARS, it could be a bunch of different things. I mean, you could have a common cold and test positive for a coronavirus. So what do I believe? So I asked my doctor, what's going on? And he goes, Paul, it's all an educated conjecture. He says, we don't know. We're just guessing. In other words, we are grasping for some kind of control. Here are some things that we see that where these things three things play out. Number one, in the conditions in our life, the first thing we do is we can blame others. For example, everything that's going on in the world today, now, is Biden's fault. Unless you talk to Biden, Biden says it's Trump's fault. Trump says, well, it's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. So we blame. Cain, where is your brother? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Adam, you ate the apple? What were you thinking? Well, it was that wife you gave me. Eve, you gave him the apple I told you not to eat? Well, it was that serpent you put in the garden. We blame. So we don't have to take responsibility. We go to a psychiatrist and he makes us feel better about ourselves so that we can go back and blame our parents for everything that's wrong with us. We don't have to take responsibility. We can blame others. Another thing is magical thinking. If we can believe a fantasy, you know, people that say, like, you know what? God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of strength and all of this other stuff. So I'm not even going to wash my hands. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not even going to take care of myself because God's going to take care of me. That's magical, wishful thinking. You're going to end up with something. Prediction. If we can predict the future, then we can control the future. And how many of us sit in our armchairs and watch a game and we armchair quarterback through the game? Oh, he should have done this. Oh, he should have made that pass. Oh, we do that all the time. Well, the doctors and everybody are doing this. Even learned epidemiologists don't know what's kind of going on. They're just predicting. The flu shot, you know what they do with the flu shot? They try to predict what strain of the flu is going to come this year. They shoot you with it, and then if you get the flu, they say, well, you know what? Hey, it was our best guess. We're trying to control. We're trying to predict. Another thing is the alarmism. If I had a dollar for every time someone said to me, oh, the world's never going to be the same, I'd be rich. You know what? That could be true, or it may not be true. But here's the thing. After 9/11, people got back on airplanes. After the Spanish flu, people came back into church. And in fact, they came back in church in such large numbers that it actually spurred the mega church movement. And so we're sitting here looking as our churches kind of dwindle, and we say, like, well, we've reached that point where we don't need God. I'm just going to take care of myself. I'm going to believe in the doctors. I'm going to watch the news. I'm going to do all these things, blah, 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 blah. Maybe that may be the new norm, but I'm not going to be an alarmist and say that's the new norm. I believe we're all going to come back to church one day. We're going to engage in the fellowship of believers. And we're going to pray with and for each other. So what is truth? Truth is not a what. Truth is a who. Listen to that again. Truth is not a what. Truth is a who. Jesus says this in John 14. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And we believe Jesus is the way. We say, like, oh, you know, in fact, the first movement was called The Way. They wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to be like Jesus, and so they tried to imitate Jesus in their life. He became their model. They were his disciples, which meant they were his followers. He was like their mentor, their leader. And so they modeled their lives like that because that was the way. Okay? And Jesus says, I am the life. He who believes in me will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So we know that, but we get stuck on Jesus being the truth. When Jesus says, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and we say, like, well, you really didn't mean that, did you? When he says, if you have faith, even like the mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, you can move mountains. You don't really mean we can move a mountain. When Jesus told the disciples, you'll be able to do, with the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do even greater things than I did. We go, like, greater than you? I don't think so. You may be the way and you may be the life, but you're not really the truth. Are you? But Jesus says he is the truth. John 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Truth is not a what, it is a who. And Jesus says this, that you can know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. You can know the truth, and the truth can set you free. And Jesus says this, he goes on to say this, if the Son, him, Jesus, if the Son sets you free, then you will be what? Free indeed. Free from turning on your TV wondering what the news says 100 times about what's going on in politics, in society, with the pandemic, with all of the stuff going on, the price of gas, all of the stuff that's going on. Paul says, and I just want to close out with a bunch of verses. Romans, Paul says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. If he is the way and the truth and the life, then the faith that we have comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Jesus. Jesus said to them in John, he says this, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, if you are looking for help and hope in the government, from your family, from your jobs, from all of those things, those will all pass away. It all comes from Jesus. John writes in his letter, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in the way and the truth and the life. Paul says in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Ephesians, Paul writes this, and I love this. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Have you felt like you have been hammered by darts by the evil one? Look at your lives. Look at the stuff that's going on. It feels like every day he is throwing more and more darts at us. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths, because he is the way and the truth and the life. Paul says in Romans again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by the testing, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And as he begins to transform our mind and renews us in Christ, we understand that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians, so we do not lose heart. And though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, these are transient. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And so that's what I wanted to leave us with today, that Jesus is the truth. And in a time that we live where we're not sure what the truth is, just remember, the truth is not a what, the truth is a who, and that who is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being our light. We thank you for being our truth. Father, we thank you for being the one who loved us so much that you would willingly give yourself and sacrifice yourself for even the dirtiest of us. Father, we just thank you for all that you provide for us, your mercy and your grace. And Father, I pray that each day that we would not be caught up in the relativism of the world or the subjectivism of the world or this expressive individualism of the world, Father, but we would hold fast to the anchor of Jesus Christ as the way and the truth and the life. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.